You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
What's up, guys? This is Arrested Youth, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
You checking out Rebel Radio?
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
What did you say, Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, I chop it up with Arrested Youth. He's an artist on the bubble. He's a rapper, singer, songwriter, kind of blending hip-hop with pop and punk. He's got a new album out now, Nonfiction. Make sure you check that out. It's produced by John Feldman of Goldfinger. He's got collabs with Mark Hoppus of Blink-182. And we talk about work ethic. We get into some interesting stories of how he got here and where he's going. But this dude is a classic example of somebody that just puts in the work, never stops, and really understands what it takes to build a career out of sweat. So I hope you're going to enjoy it. I really like talking to this guy, and let's get into it. Dig into it a little bit, if you don't mind. Let's go back to the beginning, and how you even got started in this. Do you remember the first record you ever bought for yourself?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I paid for it with my money, but
fair enough.
My mom got it for me.
Okay,
dude, it was Sugar Ray's 1459.
Okay.
Got it on a set. I was in New York at the time, close to where I am now, at this really cool record shop that, of course, is not there anymore. But it was, man, yeah. And I actually played that cassette till the tape in it.
Uh-huh.
I was pulling it out one day as a kid, and I pulled it out while it was playing, and it was done.
I remember
those days. But that was it, man. That was. I heard, you know, they had that. I don't know if you know how well you know Sugar Ray. I know it's not, you know, a little bit. I know that's not like the coolest name drop to ever put out there, but they were underrated, man. I really think they were. I know a lot of people in the alternative rock community. They had a very poppy sound. I think they're still one of the most underrated. That album, 1459. I'll send you some of my favorites if you give a shit to listen. And there's some songs in there that are just so good. And that I found it through that song every morning. That was like a big radio hit for
me. Right. Yeah.
It has influenced my sound a lot more than like I'm almost coming to terms with it more now as I've been getting ready for this album. And, you know, we're doing PR and a lot of the questions are not, I love the question, I'm not knocking your question, but I'm just like, the question is like, what do you influence off of? And I was like, I really want to dig deeper to really, cause sometimes you just end up giving answers like that. There's so many things we're influenced by.
Sure.
So I really started to think about, well, why was Sugar, what was it in Sugar? If that was my first record, what was it? And, the way that, and it shows in all my music I make now, the way they took like rock, pop forward but rock chord progressions and then just had such great hip-hop breakbeat drum samples. I mean, the cleanest stuff. That's still like my favorite sound is like really
that was rock. Hurricane was the DJ, right?
Yeah. because they had that fly. They fly was like what allowed them to be a band. Without that song, they wouldn't have got the shot to make 1459.
That's right.
But yeah.
Yeah,
but,
I remember. Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, Hurricane was, you know, I used to see him around at the clubs and stuff. He was a, you know, local guy. And then all of a sudden he was in this band and, you know, everyone was talking about Sugar Ray. It's funny, like, they don't, you know, I think they weren't around long, right? Like
that 1459 was like it.
Like Mark moved on to becoming, you know, a TV star, right?
Yeah.
And then McGee came out of Sugar Ray, didn't he? With the director.
Yeah, and the thing is, dude, I don't even know the history that well because that was the album I heard as a kid, and then it was like gone. Like they were just gone. Yeah. And I was a kid still, so I didn't have like the fortitude to really follow up and like figure out what was going on. Like we didn't have social media. So it just was like, oh well, that was the one cassette I saw, you know.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I know he went on McGrath went on to do things but I don't know. I always just had such a, and still with me, my favorite sound is still like that acoustic or electric with a rock progression with this super tight, clean, fat breakbeat sample that just is such a hybrid sound. I still love it. And we've used that sound on a lot of the album and a lot of stuff I've put out in the past. Yeah.
Nice. And then how did you get started making music?
I got started making music, and I guess you could call it an unconventional way. I mean, as an artist, I started late in terms of my career. I started putting things out with the rest of the youth when I was 25. I woke up on the wrong side of my head, been looking for the bright side instead. So many times I've been let down, but that never washed my spirit out. I have a brother, an older brother, younger sister. They were actually the musical ones. My brother was a great drummer and great pianist and violinist. He was like he could have had the career of music if he wanted it. My sister was a great singer. She went to school for singing. I've just played sports and liked music. I mean, for me, it was about playing.
What'd you play?
Downloading music. I played soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. So I played club soccer growing up, and music for me, I always just related it to activities. Like I loved music, but it was to download it to go to the soccer tournament, or it was downloaded to go run outside when I was doing conditioning. It was always the music was always to accompany what I was doing in life. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, there's a lot of, obviously a lot of differences. There's a lot of similarities, I think, between sports and music. I'm curious, what did you learn? What are the lessons you took from playing sports that still apply to your career now in music?
Oh man. I mean, work ethic, obviously, and just training. Yeah. I mean, just your reps for rep's sake. I mean, I don't know. That's what the basics of repetition, preparation and practice meets performance. I mean, that's still the most relevant lesson to my life as a musician every day. I don't have a flashy profile going for me. I rely on my ability to write songs and perform them. Like that goes right back to sports in the sense that every day I'm rehearsing, every day I'm writing music. To me, it's way more about the ethic behind it and building the craft. And I think, yeah, I think I follow like a similar approach to sports and to training and work ethic, man. Like, even for example, with the live, you know, we're preparing for the next tour. And a big thing for me was, I want to take my vocal performance and the sonics behind what I'm doing while it's been on a great trajectory. I want to take it. I feel like it's time to take, I'm at a point where I can make this big next step for myself. So it was, I just thought of the analogy this summer as I had all this time to baseball where, you know, when you're practicing as a batter, you can practice with a weighted bat, right? So that when you are actually playing, you've put in, you know, your strength and your ability to hit is at a different level. So I strip back completely the way I prep for live tour. And I started just preparing vocally over instrumentals with no backing whatsoever. And the goal can I create a vocal performance where if I had no support vocals, if I had no support guitars, if I had no support anything, and it was just like me on that microphone and people had to pay tickets to come see that, could I make their tickets worthwhile? And like, that's the way I've been training this summer with the live performance. So yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty logical guy. I'm not some savant artist. So I do a lot of the stuff I do when it comes to trying to make it as an artist is super logical and foundational in the same way I would train for soccer or I would study for a test in school. It's like, I know I'm not as musically talented as some of these guys I'm going up against, but I can put in the effort and I do have the passion. And you, as you know, like the reps matter. Like over time, sure, the reps beat out. I mean, there are some artists that are so talented that they're, you know, do nothing and do drugs and don't ever practice and still go on and be better than I ever
would. Pretty rare.
But that is a rare case. And yeah, kudos to those people. But for the most part, over time, I like to believe at least that the persistence and the reps and the dedication beats out a lot of the other stuff that may in the moment have, you know, the spotlight. So that's how I approach it.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. That's a great insight. So as you were getting started, did somebody help you? Like, well, tell me about that journey of sort of,
yeah,
you know, quote unquote, becoming a musician.
Yeah, people have always helped me, man. And I've been very grateful for that. I got into music through, ironically, freestyling, like in hip hop. We would actually freestyle. Imagine like 15 white kids playing soccer, freestyling in a bus up to Michigan. But that was what it was. And I just so happened to be the best. And they, my teammates were like, you should record some of this stuff. You've got some interesting lines. So I ended up, my best friend ended up being really into music. And so we just like make demos in his basement. And I took me a while to put some of them out, and I didn't put a ton of them out, but I ended up putting out music in high school for a bit. But that's when I really fell in love with making songs, like making the music. Like I could stay in that basement all day. Like he would be like, man, I got to go eat dinner. And I'd be like, well, we got to finish this. Like no one was listening to it. Like, but to me, it was all about finishing it. It was all about getting it right. Who cared? It didn't matter if it was just us playing it in the car. It had to be right. So I fell in love with that process early, and I made stuff in high school, but I never thought it was really going to pan out. I was studious. School was important to me. So I gave up music, went to Indiana University, studied business, and really went into like the business corporate world in terms of my trajectory in life. Definitely struggled on a personal level, on a purpose level. It wasn't making me happy. Long story short, I found music again my senior year of college. I had accepted a job pretty early.
What kind of job?
Year. I was working for Anheuser-Busch in their global management program. It was like it was a program to like pretty much like prime young smart business kids to have like leadership positions in the company early on out of school. So I had that kind of locked in the beginning of my senior year, actually. And I was still like pretty miserable in my personal life, in my creative life. So I found music again and I had time. So I started recording demos in my apartment, in my college apartment. And a friend of mine was tour managing for a DJ at the time, who would always come through Bloomington, Indiana, the town where I went to school. And we caught up one day and, you know, I told him I was making music again, and he kind of coaxed me into sending him something and said he wouldn't share it. He shared it with who is now my manager, David Carlson, who was also kind of like we run a lot of Arrested Youth together. Like we've really bootstrapped this from nothing and built it to what it is now with, you know, no big label, no anything. I mean, we've really done, you know, got our hands in the dirt. And he found it and he heard it and he wasn't supposed to. And he like called me out of the blue. And I was like, I really was never, like, my pride wouldn't really let me even consider doing music again. I felt like I gave that up because I wasn't gonna ever make it. So
yeah,
you know, he asked me, I was like, no, you know, I'm just making it for fun. Like, I'm working in the corporate world. I want nothing to do with it. I think somewhere in him, he knew, he could tell how much I loved it. So he kind of convinced me to just send him, like, well, if you keep making songs, just keep sending them. So I kept sending them, and long story short, a lot of support from David, and I ended up taking that job. And that whole year that I worked that job, I actually was, like, recording demos in, it was a traveling program, so wherever, whatever city I was in, I was just, after work, I would always go to the closet or wherever I set up my little studio and oh, try nice. And work on this record. I made a yeah. deal with myself that if I can make an EP, like, 8 songs was the idea, that are, I really believe, have a chance to do something, and I can make it by the end of this year. It was a year program. Then I'm going to leave and I'm going to pursue music. And so by the end of the program, with help of David and a few others, I had that, and I said, all right, I'm going to go for it. And I, you know, I took the leap and I started pursuing Arrested Youth. So yeah, wow. that was kind of my music story, a little unconventional. Definitely wasn't an artist from the start. Wasn't, like, a great piece of talent that you know, but I always loved the songs, and I always loved the lyrics, and I always loved the energy and the melodies. I know I said Sugar Ray, but I also loved bands like the Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. I saw, like, Kiedis, and I saw that he, like, you know, he was pretty, like, Beastie Boys type character who just had great melodies and great lyrics and kind of was unconventional. Like, you could tell he wasn't a trained music savant, but he had something and he, like, owned it. And so bands like that and frontmen like that also, like, really inspired me to say, like, yeah, I might not have this insane voice and musical background and this whole getup, but I have the passion, I have the energy, I have the intellect in how I write the music, I have the melodies, like, there's a chance. So that was a big inspiration point.
That's a great story. I wonder, so you had this kind of, you know, let's call it a fear of failure. I don't know if you would say it that way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I think, I believe, like, to some extent, that never goes away. I don't know if that's changed for you.
Always there. So, I'd say my fear of failure now is higher than ever because finally I have something going. Finally, I feel some momentum. And it almost only gets, you know, yeah.
I mean, the stakes keep getting higher, right?
Right.
You know, it's one thing to fail privately. It's another to fail, you know, in front of fans or you know, whatever. No, I totally get that. So I wonder, like, you know, what did change? What allowed you to kind of, like, push through anyway and say, look, I'm just going to, I mean, I love the idea. Like, I'm just going to make songs, you know, if I get to 8, like, I'll do something. Right. So, what was that, you know, what did you kind of draw on to be able to just keep going?
Well, I think first and foremost, it was the passion for writing music. And I think that is, right, at the end of the day, I will put that as the level one of the entire foundation that keeps me doing this, mm-hmm, and has kept me doing it. But obviously on top of that, there's got to be a little more, right? And I've always just tried to own up to the decisions I made. I mean, I knew I wanted to pursue music. I told myself from the beginning I started this and started that deep down this was going to be. I knew there were going to be days, maybe months, maybe, you know, maybe a year where it's like, fuck, like I chose this. And I've always been a big fan. I learned that early. I think soccer helped me. I had some really good but tough coaches. I always learned, like, you make the decision and then you own up to it. Like, mm-hmm, you do or you don't, you know, you do, you put it into action or you don't. And in between that, you think there's all these other options, but there's not. And so that's kind of my attitude as an artist, is definitely, like, very grit forward. Like, mm-hmm, I made this decision. I love this. I want to build a career out of it. I can't see myself doing anything else. So this is what I have to, while sticking to, and I have been very stubborn as an artist in some ways, but while sticking to my values, while sticking to the artist I want to be, the person I want to be, I have to make this work. And at the end of the day, you could say someone else didn't do this for me, someone else did that for me, but I try and always take all the responsibility and say, this is my career, this is my life, I chose this. The only way is forward. I mean, yeah, there's fears and there's cynicism and there's doubts and there's, you know, chips on the shoulder. Like, I feel all that stuff. I've been in it for like 3.5 years, but I feel all those things. And, you know, yeah, bandmates come and go and producers come on and you think they're going to do this and you get this, there's labels. It's all the stuff is like, you know, it's like scar tissue, but you find the joy in it and you find the reason you do it. And you know that the only path is forward. I'm 27. I want a good career. You know, I have things I want to accomplish and I have lifestyles I want to live, nothing crazy, but I definitely, you know, want to have a life. And sure. So I own up to it and keep it and doing it. So it's a long-winded answer, but I think taking responsibility for the decision to be an artist is like something I work on every day. Like, I want to be altruistic and I want to stick to my values, but then I also have to check in and say, yeah, but you have a career and you need to make a living. So where are you willing to change? Where are you willing to give in a little to help this thing move forward? So it's a balance, but at the end of the day, I think it comes down to like personal responsibility.
So you talked a little bit about your, you know, you and David kind of building everything yourselves, right? What have you learned like in this, you know, in the years that you've been working together? Tell me about what makes a good partnership and how do you where do you rely on him? How do you keep that partnership healthy and strong?
That's a great question. I'm not going to sit here and say that like me and my manager, like we're so close. I mean, we're like family. We still have our issues with how we communicate. It's like, it's sure, like siblings trying to talk to each other. We're that close.
Of course.
What I would say the number one thing with a guy like me and a guy like David, two things have kept us working together through thick and thin. And I would say that's trust and respect. I use those terms at on like the bottom line, like tons of shit sits up on that and we have our issues, but I trust him 100%. He trusts me 100%. And regardless of how we have a conversation, what goes down, I respect him 100% and he respects me. And we always make those things clear regardless of whatever happens. And we're both like pretty intellectual guys, pretty heady, very particular, very retentive, like and so there is a lot of like this, but we find ways to let those paths cross and not inhibit what we have to do, right? Like, mm-hmm, not get in the way of moving forward. And but at the end of the day, again, whenever we have really rough times or whenever we have whatever it is, I always know, like, I trust this guy more than anyone that I could ever, like, ever. And that just counts, you know how it is and stuff like this. It just counts.
That's everything.
You can't even put a number on it. It just counts more than anything. Cause yeah, you can't, it's you find it, like you find the trust every once in a blue moon, I think. So trust and respect, man. Yeah.
Was there any mistakes you made early on that you want other people to avoid?
Oh God. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of them, but I don't, that's a hard question. I haven't done anything stupid. Like, I had David to really help.
That's big.
I had David to help, a lot. Like it probably would have been something like, you know, like, own your own masters, like own your publisher. Like, David helped me with a lot of those things from the start of like, nice, he had been around for a minute and he said, like, this is how we're going to want to do this. Trust me, down the road, you're going to be happy. We made this decision. Mm-hmm. If there was one thing that I would say, a mistake that I've made, this would be just a personal note of my whole life, but, you know, probably probably be a little less cynical, you know, and work, you know, everyone needs to pay the piper kind of thing. Like, maybe I wish I paid the piper a little more early on, to who knows, but I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think of something. Like, I really am not like a look in the past. What could I have done? Like, I learn from everything, but I'm a firm believer in like what happens. It gets you to the next point. Like, there's a reason I've done it super DIY. There's a reason that I've stuck to like my style of building my career, my brand. There's a reason we've kept it small scale. There's a reason we funded a lot of things on our side of the label. The reason we did an independent label with people we're really close with. Like, you could look at all those things and say, you know, sometimes my dad will give me shit like, well, should you be scaling it more now? And like, don't you want to be making more money now? All these things, right? And I could look back and say, maybe all those things were mistakes. Who knows? Right. But
sure,
there's a reason we did those things. And I like to believe that, like, I don't see a huge mistake I've made. I see everything that has happened steering me toward a career that is right for me. Nothing stands out as like, man, I wish I didn't do that. And maybe that will change. But I would say, yeah, maybe a little less stubborn and a little less cynical toward the whole thing. I came in pretty cynical of what it meant to be an artist, because I didn't come from that. I came from like the business world and the studious world, and it kind of always felt like little, not cheesy, but like, am I really an artist? You know, I think I'm pretty self-aware. Like, what does it mean? Do I really want to be like out doing stupid things and like, not right. stupid things, but like not having a schedule and like not being structured and being some wacky artist with all these ideas? Like, to me, that was never what I wanted to be. I wanted to make music because I loved it, but I didn't want to sell some gimmicky thing to look more creative and different than I really was. So I don't know. I'm trying to entertain you here with a thoughtful response. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think there's a huge mistake. I think, again, maybe I should have just been a little more open and to stuff. And that's something I'm working on now is being a little more open to stuff, not being so protective and closed-minded to like every opportunity that comes my way.
I mean, I think that's a really hard balance to get right. And so, I've definitely heard artists, you know, come at it from that perspective of a skepticism, and, you know, which I think is fair. You know, I've seen way more artists, you know, go off the deep end the other way, right? And just, you know, get pushed in every different direction, or try to do everything, or, you know, take every dollar. And I think that's probably a much bigger mistake.
Right.
That, you know, leaving a little bit on the table, like, right, that there's always something more that maybe you could have done, I think is probably a good way to you know, even things out.
I got one for you. I got one mistake. I think there's a few songs on this album that I still love, but John convinced me to go up in key, and I wish I had stayed down in key. It's okay. I pitch them down in the live set. So it all works out. But there's like a few songs on this album that I'm just like, I should have said no. It's down a half step, because I don't want to be singing in a nasal in my nasal region. That's just something so small. But to me, you know, there's a real regret for you.
Right on. So you were talking about work ethic. Is it true you write a song every day?
Yeah, or a piece of a song for sure.
You write every day.
I do, but it's really because it's just like therapy for me. Like, it's just it's the same way I like stretch in the morning, the same way I go on a run, the same way I work out. It feels like, as an artist, that's the least I should be doing in a day. And it's not like coming from like a purely productive standpoint. It's coming from the same way again. Like, the best thing I've gone for me, in my opinion, is my songwriting. So why would I not at least stretch every day as a songwriter? Mm-hmm. That's how I think of it, at least. Because who knows what that little, even if it's like being in the studio and sitting down for 10 minutes or like getting on the guitar and messing around for 10 minutes. I'm a terrible guitar player, by the way. But whatever it is, like, yeah, I always try and touch a song a day in some aspect, because it's even just the peace of mind thing. Sometimes it's super therapeutic and it becomes a great song. Sometimes it's like, well, yeah, I gave up. I took this risk. The pressure is on me. The responsibility is on me. So that's the least I can be doing to be moving my career forward and my craft forward. So yeah, I would say.
So yeah. What do you do on those days when it's not flowing?
Recently, if I'm not feeling it in a day, and especially more recently, because my attention has turned, like these days, I'll just rehearse. I'll just work on the live set. And I'm like, all right, well, okay. I'm not inspired. Like the new song, that's not happening, but I got tons of work to do on this live set. So let's just put the energy and music energy there. And in days where that wasn't the case with, if I wasn't rehearsing, it was like, I would accept it. You know, I would always do it. I would still always do the action of trying to create.
Like, is it?
It was the act.
Is it like a certain amount of time? Or you like, you know, I'm going to do this for an hour.
Whenever I tap out, like the same way, like if I end, you know how it is, like you end up doing something and you're loving it, you're just going to keep going on it. Like if I sit down and I make something and something clicks and it's, you know, 6 o'clock, what's probably going to happen is I'm going to look up and dinner pass and it's like 10. And I'm like, you know, I'm structuring out the song. Because I just find the groove, but it could just be sometimes, I mean, there's sometimes, and I'm not ashamed of it at all. Like we're all sit down, maybe it's in the morning or maybe it's at night. And I just like pull up a little piece of music and I like maybe lay a vocal down or a melody. And then I like sit there and take a second. I go back, listen. I'm like, nah, fuck it. And I just shut everything. And
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, it wasn't the day. Like that wasn't it. So, but again, to me, it's like, doesn't matter. I did the act. Like I'm not a person guy where it's like, no, you have to sit here till like 4 hours every day. It's like, no, like I'll let the inspiration come, but I'm still always going to put the act in. Cause the action.
Are you capturing all of that?
Say it again.
Are you capturing all of it?
Oh, the stuff I make. Yeah. Yeah. It all sits on like a hard drive. And I also like, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure a ton of artists are like this too, but like sometimes I'll just pull like a verse or like a line from something that I did randomly. And that will become one of the best lines in one of the new songs. And it's like, thank God I sat down and like bashed my head against the wall for like 15 minutes. Cause I got this really cool line that just happens to be one of the coolest lines that I like pulled in the song. I make a lot of stuff, so I kind of always have that library in my head. And sometimes I'll say something or I'll record something that again isn't a full song. It's a line and it just sticks in my subconscious and I'm writing a new song and like I just somewhere in my subconscious that line comes up and I hear it and I'm like, why is it familiar? It's like, oh, I did that on another song. But it's like, here's the song. That's just like 10-second clip. It's perfect for this. So that happens a ton. Like I recycle lines and melodies and lyrics. And sometimes you have something, it's not meant for a full song. It's just meant to be borrowed for the next song kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Talk about the EP you did that you wrote with fans.
Oh yeah, yeah. Arrested Youth and the Quarantiners. They say stay home alone, or you might catch the corona. But I've been on my own for as long as I have known. Yeah, that was super. Talk about just like in the moment of inspiration. That was like right when quarantine hit. I finished Nonfiction recording it at least. I was just kind of messing around in the studio. I did a live stream one night and I was like, maybe we'll just work on something together. And it was actually really fun. And there were some really good ideas that were like getting passed across the chat. And that was like the beginning of the lockdown, where like it was serious about lockdown, where like you couldn't leave, no one was leaving their house. They had like curfews. And so that we just, for like a week and a half straight, we just got together. I had set up a little like live studio segment, and we'd sit down every night and like write songs for like 2.5, 3, maybe 4 hours. And, we brought together like 6 songs that were kind of me producing out a little melody, coming up with like maybe a concept, whatever. What can't, no 2 songs were done the same way. And people would give their ideas and I'd kind of push it along. And yeah, we just had like this cool little pocket of 6 songs that, we released as just like a fan written project. Yeah. To my knowledge, was still like the first like fully fan written project that was like released, like full writing credit for the fans that wrote on it. And it was dope. I know it was something that meant, kids still reach out all the time. Like that was so sick that we got to make that together. So it's super special.
Yeah, no, I think it's an amazing idea, and it's you know, it almost goes counter to like some of the stuff you were talking about earlier, this idea of what an artist is, right? Mm-hmm. And this, you know, that we're like, you didn't say this, but you know, we're like, there's like that magical creative spark that, you know, some people have and other people don't, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you sort of like broke down those barriers and allow people to participate with you in that process, I think is really interesting.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was cool.
What do you think you learned from that process? You know, is it changed your songwriting at all? Is it what's different now?
No, I don't think anything changed from my own process from that. I just think that showed me, you know, kids are really looking for creative outlets. Like, yeah. In the sense that, and kids are really talented, and I've learned that more and more every day. And I say kids, I just mean like, there's just so many young people out there who are incredibly, incredibly musically gifted. And yeah. I mean that too, of like, I've had a few artists younger, like who are not on the map whatsoever, reach out and be like, hey, you know, I'd love to tour with you. I'd love for you to listen to my music. I'm such a huge Arrested Youth fan. And then I listen to their music and I'm like, if this kid finds the right people and they've developed the right way, they're going to be 10 times bigger than I am, you know, like they're mm-hmm. so much better. Like they're, you know, so mm-hmm. I just say that because it goes back to the same thing I found on the quarantiners of like, there's so much talent out there. It's insane. So many talented kids. And I hear the stuff and I'm like, I give them a little advice. And I say, and I also like, there's two artists, one artist in particular that I'm kind of, really want to, outside of my own career, kind of help develop. And I think he's got something incredibly special. Amazing kid, great kid, amazing songwriter. Arrested Youth is like one of his favorite bands, but it's ironic because I listen to his stuff and I'm such a huge fan of him. Like I'm his fan. I have his stuff on repeat. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think I'm just saying that because I think that doing that project helped open me up to like, you're an artist and you're growing and I'm still developing, you know, I still have a lot of ways of development in my career to go. And like maybe along the way, if you have some of the time, help develop a few other artists who fit into that world of like dedication to the lyrics and finding something interesting to say and bringing together a bunch of different genres. So I think that's what that helped me with doing that EP, was realizing how much I enjoyed not being the artist, but helping funnel other people's creative ideas and letting them, you know, letting them create. So yeah, that's something that I'm really interested in doing more as my career develops, is helping other artists who I believe in take their music, and maybe the music's done, maybe there's something else I can help with, who knows. But nice. Just help them create and have a career for themselves. Yeah.
That's amazing. So you had already written, or your nonfiction was already done before you did the Quarantiners record.
Yeah, I don't have like the exact dates. I want to say maybe when we did Quarantiners, there was like John and I were finishing up a few more songs.
Got it.
I want to say maybe we were like three-fourths the way through writing the songs mm-hmm. that ended up on nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was like a send off from that album to get to go do that and put that out. And that's when yeah, the quarantine really got strict and invasive. Yeah.
So you said nonfiction is not, you said it's not a concept record, right?
Yeah, not a traditional for sure, because to my knowledge, at least I might be wrong on this. I don't really know, but I feel like concept albums usually are created with the concept, like the usually, right? I mean, maybe it's after,
yeah,
but
I think so. You know, there's a real, yeah. Never know, but yeah.
Yeah, you I never, I guess you're right. Yes. I always think, right, usually with the concept album, you come with the concept, you say, this is what, right. This is the world that it's going to live in, and this is what it's going to be. But yeah, you're right. Maybe you make that after. But yeah, it wasn't that. It just was, I was sitting on these songs because John and I didn't make it. It's not like we sat down and said, all right, we're going to do a full album now. Like, and people still ask me about this, like the last project I put out is called Saw Bill episode 1. So they're like, are more episode, like when's episode 2 coming? Like you're putting out an album, but what about the other episodes? And it was like, well, we were going to do that, but we ended up just getting in on this streak and writing all these songs. Mm-hmm. And I was just for whatever reason, I just knew for myself. I was like, I don't want to put out another EP. Like, I want to put out an album. Mm-hmm. I want the next project to be an album. I don't want it to be an episode 2. Like I just didn't. So we, again, that's why I was coming, relating it back to your question, was it a concept record? It was really just a batch of songs. And so I had to look at it and say, I'm making this an album. What is the underlying theme to this? Like, what is this? So, and that's why the year was great, because I got a year to kind of like figure out what it was. But at the end of the day, I came to the conclusion that it's just like, these are very honestly written songs where in that time I've been 3 years of myself and learning about myself along the way, still kind of having a bit of a youthful spirit. So I kept some of that in there. And I was just like, what is this? And they're just like honest songs about where I was at in life. So I was like, you know, what does that mean? I was like, that's just truthfully written. Like, it's nonfiction. It's not fake. Sure. And so it's not made up. And so nonfiction just felt like it fit into that world. Like it felt like the right word to say, this is what this is.
So what are you writing about now? You say you write every day. How is what you're writing now different than?
That's a great question. I feel like this last year, I've had a lot of learning experiences in life. Like, that sounds so cliche. Like, obviously, you would hope that you're having learning experiences in life.
We don't know.
But I don't know. Some things have definitely changed for me and my understanding of where I'm at and who I am and what I want to say next as an artist. And so the sound and the lyrics, the best word is probably, as you would hope, it's probably just matured. You know, it's matured. I'm not rapping as much, that's for sure. Like, there's not as much hip hop. Maybe I'll bring a little back. I don't want to like cut hip hop cold turkey, but I did sit back on this album, and as I was listening after having it for a while, I'm like, I love this album, but God, like, I really turned to hip hop to tell the stories and the verses. Like, it's very hip hop forward. And I think I found myself thinking, I think it would be nice on the next record to still, obviously I love hip hop and I have a real flow in my pockets, but like, how do I maybe push a little more into less of a hip hop structure of songwriting? Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge focus. And then, my vocal has been a huge focus. Like, how do I tap a little more? Like I said, right. Like, there's some songs that I wish I dropped down a half step or a full step. And, it's really been about how do I continue to build my novelty and originality as an artist? Like, what are the even being so mindful, not overthinking, but just being mindful with like when the melody comes, thinking, what is this melody? Is this really the melody that is right? Like, is this really the sonic and the melody of the songs that I want to be making right now? Not to overthink it, because obviously you're just going to end up making shit if you're overthinking it. But I'd say, like, just in general, it's a more mature, mindful approach toward the music, while also knowing that I don't want to, like, do this album and then get so heady that I make, like, a hipster album that's, like, so, like, you know, I've watched that with so many bands where they're, like, right. they want it, or artists where they're, like, now I'm going to be so musical and so refined. And it's, like, well, you had something great going, and now sure. just, now you're just, like, wearing a fedora and, you know, it's just all acoustic. Like, I'm not doing that, but I don't want to lose the fun and the energy, but I'm definitely trying to find whatever that next maturing step is for me, for sure.
Nice. Dope. Yeah. Right on, man. Well, I got to get to a little lightning round before I let you go.
Hit me, dude. Yeah, let's do it. You have great, great questions, by the way. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you, man. This is super fun. I mean, I liked your music, and it's even more fun talking about it. So thanks, appreciate that. So what's your favorite city to travel to?
Oh, man. Still always, dude, New York City. I always say, though, I like going into New York City as much as I like leaving. But I love, I love it. Now that's just a city to travel to in general, but I have a feeling that was tour specific. And I love on tour. I love visiting Seattle. I think Seattle is really cool.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I mean, it's a great music city for sure.
It is, dude. You
definitely appreciate music.
You feel all that 90s grunge energy there, man. It just, like, you just feel it, and it's cool to be on tour there for sure.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, man. That's a good question. End of the day, probably Calvin Harris.
Okay. So I saw him at Coachella. It was mind blowing.
Man, his early stuff, like, in high school, man, yeah. I loved what he just had, and I love that he had such a dope voice. Like, I just loved that he was singing on it. It was cool. Like, those records wouldn't have been what they were without him, his tone, man.
No question.
Big fan.
What's the last great book you've read or listened to?
The last book, I think I have sitting here since I can't remember the title. The last book that I read is called This Is Not a T-Shirt, and it was
I haven't read it, but
Bobby Hundreds, yeah, and it was a friend recommended it to me, and because we were about to put out a new merch line, he was like, yeah, I know you're making all the new merch, I thought you'd enjoy this book, and it was a cool read. I mean, it's got a super entrepreneurial guy, and you know, it was all about building a brand that people trusted and valued, and I just thought it was cool to see that.
No, that's dope. It's on my list. Bobby's the shit. And absolutely. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
Probably Dumb and Dumber. I love Makes that sense. Movie.
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome. Who's somebody you've learned a lot from that you haven't met?
Probably Tyler Joseph from 21 Pilots.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 In terms of how he's built his career, and I work with people who cross paths closely with him, and I have a lot of, I know people sometimes will say we also have sonic similarities. I see where they hear it. I don't think it's as close as people like to believe. I also just think we might have some similar voices and ways of writing songs. But I also do know how he chose to build his career and the steps he took and how really kept it. And I definitely have a lot of respect for that. And
great.
Haven't met him, but I would say I set some lessons we're learning there or continue to learn. Yeah.
Cool. Last one. If we work together, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
I have a terrible tendency to say, to be honest, when, like, it's like, well, are you going to lie to me? Like, I'm like, well, you know, to be honest, it's like, yeah, no shit to be honest. I mean, now I trust you less because you said to be honest. That's probably,
I get it. I those things, like, they always bug us more about ourselves. when we say them. And I think, you know, it's I mean, that's one people talk about a lot, but also, you know, I think we also understand that that's just like, it's just a lead in to whatever you're about to say, right?
Yeah. You want to make it clear. You want to let them know, like, I'm going to tell you my real thoughts. But you would hope that would be what you're doing always, but who knows? What would bother me, but what would be yours?
Oh, I mean, like shit that I say that bothers me. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot. I think, you know, I think for me, the stuff I say a lot is more like, you know, just go for it. Like, just, you know, let's stop worrying about it. Let's just do it. Right. We'll figure it out as we go. I think, you know, I've always, you know, the people that work for me, I have a message for all of them, which is that I know you're more capable than you think you are. And that's my job, is to help you realize that. And nice. That's I think how I, you know, that's how I position myself as a leader.
That's awesome. People need that. People need that more than we all really understand.
Totally.
Like, you know,
yeah,
we really do.
I think we all, like, we all need people to believe in us and to challenge us and to help us really kind of see the path.
100%. 100%.
Right on, man. Well, this is super fun. I appreciate it. We'll have to do it again. If you're ever in LA, we'll do it in person.
Absolutely, man. Please come to a show. Like, let's reach out after and we'll get you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tickets and come see me. Come see me yell at a microphone.
Yeah. I'd love to do it. And definitely encourage everybody to check out Nonfiction and all your stuff. And
thank you, dude.
Good shit, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, this is a complete pleasure, man. It's been great talking to you.
Right on.
And I was Arrested Youth on Rebel Radio. Make sure you check out his music. Make sure you check out the rest of our episodes. You can get them on YouTube. You can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, leave a comment, a review, whatever you want to do. Most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.